everybody, to the Super Humanistic Podcast, where we talk about all things health and wellness. Thank you for joining us today. We are your hosts, David and Jessica. Make sure that you follow Super Humanistic on all social media. Hit that follow button on this podcast so you never miss another episode. We put out new episodes one time each week. So, last week we talked about 13 vegetables to lose weight and still feel full. So if you want to learn more about vegetables that you can start incorporating into your diet that help you feel full and are packed with fiber and other nutrients so that you can also lose weight because they're low in calories, go back and listen to last week's episode. This week we are going to be talking about Japanese wellness strategies. So this is where ancient wisdom meets modern wellness. So if you're looking for wellness, sustainable living, or even just a new approach when it comes to self-care, today's episode is going to be for you. You're going to jump into a few strategies from Japanese wisdom and wellness, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, so I think, you know, learning from Japan on how to be overall holistically healthy is really good to learn from them. I know here in America, at least, our society really focuses on the day-to-day, like, we gotta work, we have to, like, gotta get better, you gotta improve yourself in some way all the time, instead of, like, in Japan, you know, taking that breath and relaxing and being in our moment-to-moment in life. So a lot of what Japan is doing would be like embracing the herbal medicine. So using natural medicines versus medicines, at least here in America, we have so many different antioxidants and medicine that doctors prescribe to us. Where in Japan, they're really focused on embracing what herbs can do for our bodies and putting them into different drinks and teas. So some of the herbal medicine would, which what they call is kampu. So kampu utilizes herbal remedies to treat various ailments and restore your total body balance. So you can go and pick like fresh raspberries and lemon and make that into a tea. So all the different herbs offer your body the different benefits. There is also the focus of mindfulness or Zen in the Japanese culture. So again, being Zen, and we've talked about this before in previous podcasts, but just being mindful in your everyday actions. They really take time to focus on appreciating every moment throughout their day and then paying attention to your senses in all of those moments. So we've also talked about mindful eating and how when you're eating, really focusing on the textures of the food that you're eating, really focusing on the people that you're with and the sounds that you hear as you're in your day-to-day moments is also considered that Zen or meditation. Something else that they do in Japan is ritualize their morning matcha. And really what that is like really taking priority in your morning routine. Whether that be with matcha, which offers obviously those medicinal benefits too, or just ritualizing whatever it is that you are doing in the morning. They call this Shinowa. So Shinowa is their tea ceremony, and it's preparing and drinking the matcha. And as you're preparing it, you're emphasizing being mindful in that appreciation that you have to be able to drink matcha in the morning and take the time to really see it through step by step. And then taking a moment to actually set it up for presentation of the tea. And then a lot of times in Japan, they are prioritizing being together with people. So they do this tea ceremony with other people, whether it be friends or family members. So that's another aspect that I feel here in America, we don't really take a lot of time in our mornings to relax and enjoy the food that we're eating, if we even have a chance to eat in the mornings, and then being around people that we love and want to communicate that's how they're starting their mornings in Japan. Another thing they do in Japan is connect with nature. So we've tried this before, actually, and it's Shinrin Yoku. And really what this is, it's called a forest bath or forest, I think what we called it was like a forest shower. Or forest therapy, yeah. So lots of different names, but basically what this is you're immersing yourself into nature. So it doesn't have to necessarily be in a forest, although the trees that are growing and the different plants in the forest do offer various like energies and healing to the body. So having it be an actual forest is great as well. But if you're like, I don't live near a forest, I can't do this. It's literally just being in nature. So taking a hike in a prairie somewhere, but immersing yourself within nature. With doing that, you're also feeding your senses. So throughout like our therapy that we were trying with my friend, she would have us like feel the dirt, close her eyes. How does the dirt feel in your hands? And really being mindful of nature while you're in the nature. So it helps to de-stress you, of course. And then you're consuming and embracing that fresh oxygen that you get from the plants. As we know, plants give off that oxygen. So that helps our bodies to be able to use that oxygen to its full potential as well. And then we have finding beauty in our flaws. So finding beauty in the flaws would be called kintsugi. So kintsugi is like, that's where they're taking pottery that has broken and they're putting it back together. And as you see the cracks, they paint it or like glue it together with gold. So it's held together. Literally, it looks like it's really pretty. If you want to look it up, it's like super pretty as they finish it. But that's to represent those flaws and embracing and making those flaws even more beautiful. So something then related to life, of course, is that we all have flaws. We all have things that we're not the best at or imperfections that we look in the mirror and think like, oh, if only I didn't have this, or if only I could be this. So really it's taking that time to notice, yes, I do have a flaw, but then finding the beauty in those flaws. So embracing our flaws and brokenness to make us more resilient. So they feel that when we embrace and just accept that, yes, I have this flaw and it's okay, I have this flaw, like it is what it is, and moving forward, then it's going to make us more resilient later in life, as well as develop different context and skills to help us in life as well. So embrace the flaws.
All right, some great tips there for Japanese wellness strategies. I'm going to continue on with a few additional that I found interesting as well. First one I have is Ichigo Ichi, one moment, one encounter. So this basically tries to remind us that it's about living in the present moment and appreciating every encounter as if it were the only one. So in our busy, fast-paced lifestyles, we can kind of rush through life, but this teaching is showing us that we need to really slow down and savor the now. So it could be as simple as truly focusing on the other person that you're with, being fully present when you're enjoying a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, just kind of feeling that steam come off the coffee, just feeling all, or you know, using all your sensations, your taste buds as you drink the coffee and taste all the different flavors, but really focusing in on that rather than letting your mind wander to the past or the future. So that really fosters mindfulness and reduces stress and really just improves our overall well-being. The next one I found was to prioritize seasonal eating. So this is really, that comes from Japan as well, where they really embrace eating foods that are in season. That helps to make sure that they are packed with the most nutrients possible and also aligns with the natural rhythms of the body, the planet, the universe. So for example, in winter, they might eat root vegetables, more warming foods like soups and stews to nourish during the cold winter months. In the spring, they would embrace the more lighter foods like leafy greens, which can help detox and refresh the body after the winter. So this practice not only supports your body's natural needs, but also connects you to the cycles of nature as well, promoting a deeper sense of harmony and health when it comes to the universe. And I have one more that we try to practice in our home as well. And I've heard about this for a while now. And there's different documentaries and things like that on Netflix about it. And it's really that idea of wabi-sabi. So the beauty in simplicity and trying to just really reduce having a lot of stuff that you don't really need. It's really about quality over quantity and really focusing on truly what matters. I know some of the rules that we kind of live by, which we picked up from other documentaries and things like that. Or if you haven't used it in the last 6 to 12 months, throw it out. Because you're not really utilizing it. You can always replace it. It doesn't have that high of value. And when you have stuff in your house, it also takes up room in your mind. So it's very important to kind of reduce the clutter, and that'll help reduce your anxiety and just provide overall wellness by being able to focus as well and really kind of finding the true beauty and the authenticity of things rather than accumulating more stuff that you don't really need. So that's what we had for you today when it comes to Japanese wellness tips. And remember, it's not about perfection. It's really about balance, present, and a little bit of mindfulness. Make sure that you follow Super Humanistic on everything so you never miss another episode. And if you know somebody that could use more health and wellness tips in their life, make sure that you share this with them so that they can live a longer, healthier, happier lifestyle and be more super humanistic. We'll see you next time.
Bye.